Find a lot on the phone network. Let me just show you for a second. This is just one thing. I don't know what the meaning of this is though.
The number you have dialed is incorrect. Please check the number and try your call again, or ask your operator for assistance. But if you have Verizon, God help you.
Yes, the show is Hacker Mind. Guess what? I'm Screamer Chaotix, and on the phone and on the road, we have Dash Interrupt.
Hey.
Let's see if he's there. Now, Dash, you haven't crashed yet, right?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you just fine.
All right, good. Yeah, I haven't crashed yet.
Okay, can you fill us in? Like, where are you right now?
I'm just driving down the end of my road here.
And keep in mind.
Last week we were talking about Kokon, so I felt that the folks should know what it's, well, kind of, you know what it's like. I know they can go and check on their own, but I wanted to go and check on a couple payphones, see if they're Kokon or not.
Well, that's the type of thing I do for fun, so.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get started with anything else, Dash, just let us know when you reach one of them. We'll go back to you.
It'll be a few minutes before I get there, so.
Okay, well, no problem. I wanted to read an email that I received, and this comes to us from our friend Gizmo over at Underground News, and he has this to say: "Hello, I represent UGN, which can be viewed at undergroundnews.com. Monthly, we get anywhere from 100,000 to a million unique impressions. We recently underwent a change...
Your recording time is about to expire. Please finish your message within 8 seconds.
Okay.
What was that?
I believe I know what that was. Hold on. Dash, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. I know what that was. That,
was that me or was that you?
That was me. That that when I called the error message in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I don't think you heard it because I had a three-way over. It was yeah, okay. The secret's out. It's actually my voicemail. Oh, jeez, like you didn't know that. And apparently, I was recording all that, so that should be a hoot to listen to later on.
That should be a hoot. I'm just glad that wasn't me.
Yeah, no, it wasn't you, but yeah, that's just one of the crazy things that could happen. Anyway, the letter continues. We recently underwent a change of ownership from Blackbeard to its present owner, Gizmo. We also, as a result of this, hired all new staff. We fired Optics Illusions, who was found sabotaging the links and backdooring different site sections. We are currently looking for new links. Sites place a banner of ours on their page in return for one on ours.
Right, yeah.
As you can see, our hits would in most areas be quite good for viewers of your site as well as quite beneficial from ours. I think they mean for ours. If you are interested, please feel free to contact me at gizmo@undergroundnews.com, and that email is no secret, and I will get back to you immediately. Your site is well-respected and large, which is why we feel that we can both benefit from this. Signed, Gizmo. Now, of course, we try not to have any foreign banners on our site whatsoever.
We don't advertise other people's sites on our...
It's never been our way, because it really shows favoritism, you know?
Well, we did. We used to have a couple links in the beginning.
Well, yeah, links are one thing. Links are just, you know, here's another site you can go to, but a banner is a big old advertisement, you know?
Yeah.
And we do that for equal access, but, well, you know, what do we care? We can do that. But as far as showing favoritism to other sites, no, we don't want to do that, especially especially because with UGN we've had some disagreements in the past. But the reason I'm reading this is because I was, well, of course, obviously, we denied their request and wished them the best of luck, of course.
Right.
But the reason I'm mentioning this is because Gizmo had written back to me and said that, along with, I wish you the best of luck as well, he said that our site received 91 hits from his.
Right.
In like one night, 91 hits from UGN to HackerMind.net. Now, Dash, I know you don't want to give out the actual amount, but is that accurate?
No, it's not. Not from my record.
No. So he was trying to pull one over on us. Is that what you think?
I don't know. Maybe it was just. I don't know. Maybe he. I don't know. Maybe.
You don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Well. That's until we can prove otherwise. We like to think it's the horrible scam of the year. So
I also want to mention that since we said no to the banner, he took down the link they already had on UGN for Frequency.
Yeah, that's true. They used to host the Frequency E-Zine over there, and that was put up way back in Blackbeard's day because he wanted to have an E-Zine on the site, and I said, well, you know. You can. You're welcome to post it. I mean, anyone can.
Yeah.
But you know, we really don't want to start any type of advertising. But he took that down. No big loss there. All right. So let's see. First off, I got to mention that a lot of times the simplest answers are the ones that get you the best results. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, sometimes. What are you referring to?
Well, I'm referring to this microphone here, which I hope people could hear me. I'm assuming they're out there, and if they are, they're probably trying to get into irc.box.sk, but they can't.
Yeah, we need to mention that.
Yeah, well,
for some reason, the irc.box.sk server isn't working, so we're using irc.2600.net, channel HackerMind, for a temporary,
IRC chat.
So yeah, the temporary channel will go there.
So head over to irc.2600.net and yes, they are our friends, and go into channel Hacker Mind, and that's where you can all gather and discuss us, talk shit about us behind our backs, blah, 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 whatever. But anyway, this microphone that I'm using now, and I, like I said, I hope they can hear me on it.
I hope they can, too.
Well, believe me, I would just be lost if they couldn't. All right, this microphone has given us problems in the past, but fortunately, Dash was there to help me out, and, you know, Dash is the Windows tip man, even though he hates
that. But this time, you didn't need my help.
No, I didn't need your help. Although I needed some help, but I couldn't get it from anywhere, because usually what happens when I have a problem with this microphone is it'll just record static, and I'll unplug it, plug it back in, and it works fine. Unfortunately, a half hour before the show is supposed to start, which is about 40 minutes ago, I'm getting absolutely nothing. I mean, this thing will record nothing but static. I unplug it, plug it back in, nothing. I'm playing with all the settings, I shut down, I restart, I do all that, and nothing would work. But Dash, do you know how I finally solved the problem?
No, well, what'd you do?
I whacked the damn thing against the desk.
Well, that sometimes works.
I'm not going to do it now because I don't want it to get screwed up again, but literally, I took the microphone and I said, well, you know, I tried everything else. I smacked it against the desk and it started working.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the simplest solution is the answer.
And it certainly was tonight, and it solved the problem of the microphone recording static. Now, obviously, there's problems with this microphone, and I'm going to need a new one. Because, I mean, God forbid, next week I try it again, and smacking it against the desk doesn't work. Well, I mean, we almost didn't have a show tonight. So
that's not good.
No, it's not good, because especially, oh, man, it's one thing to tell your listeners next week we're not going to be on, or, you know, 2 weeks from now we're going to miss an episode, but when you have to tell them, oh, boy, yeah, a half hour from now, no, we're not going to be there. It's
yeah, that's not enough time.
But here we are, fortunately, and there you are. How's it going out there?
I'm almost there.
Where are you heading exactly? Because, I mean, this is Arkansas.
About 2 minutes from there.
All right, so this is Arkansas you're driving around in. This is not a big city.
No, it's not a big... Well, it's pretty big, kind
of. Is it like the suburbs? Is it a town?
It's a city.
Oh, you are in the city?
Yes.
Are you in Little Rock?
No, I'm not in Little Rock.
I was going to send everybody over there to get you. All right, well, you let us know when you... Wait a minute. Let me ask you this. You don't know if this is a Kokot, though, right?
I do not. I think it might be. That's why I'm going to go test it.
Okay, so Dash is going to give the test. And
we're going to test it when I get back there so I can, you know, three-way to the number and see if it's a modem or not.
Okay.
I'm getting the numbers now. Well, not right now, but I'll be there in, like, 2 seconds.
Okay. You know, what this reminds me of, I wanted to mention this before we get on to the news. Last week, right after HackerMind, well, aside from the after show that we played with the 1972 phone conference, you, me, and our friend Unreal had our own little phone conference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hopped onto our HackerMind comm line, and believe it or not, people do use it, even though it's... Well, it seems to be just us. We went to 305-503-6666, extension 947, and we joined the HackerMind comm line, and we had all sorts of fun. We had a nice little phone conference there, and it included me walking down to a payphone, just like I did on the show that night, and I played around with AT&T a little bit, and I want to tell you what I found, but first off, Dash, I have a proposal.
What?
I said I have a proposal.
Alright, what is it?
I was considering actually recording phone tracks and phone conferences that we make and putting them up on HackerMind.net.
Well, we could do that. Hang on, I'm getting the numbers.
Alright. We will wait with anticipation as Dash gets the number. Can you hear us right now, Dash? That is a no. See, I'm a master of putting two phones up to both ears and, hell, talking to two people, but apparently Mr. Interrupt hasn't gotten to that level of expertise yet, and I just don't know. All right, he must be dialing 1-800-something-something-something-something to get an ANI read back. So I will continue without him. Yeah, I've been planning on putting up phone conferences that either me, Dash, and Unreal make, and even Morse joined in. He might be in the chat. And putting them on to HackerMind.net so that people can hear, I don't know, what a modern phone-free conference sounds like, since so many people have no idea that freaks even exist anymore. It seems to me like everyone you ask, if you ask them, well, are phone freaks still around? They say, no, you can't freak with the phones anymore. You know, blue boxes are dead. There's just nothing left to do. Well, hopefully, we could change their minds by putting some cool stuff up on there, some cool phone tricks, and letting people download them. And Dash, are you back?
Hang on.
That must be a hell of a long number. Let's just enjoy the dead air, folks. Okay, well, Dash is just going on and on. Taking his...
Okay, I got the number.
There he is. We were just enjoying the dead air.
Oh, well, you should have been talking.
Well, I wouldn't want to hog the show now, would I?
Well, you are a host.
Nope.
All right, I'm going home.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
That's it. So you just drove there to get one number, and now you're going home?
I got two numbers.
Oh, two numbers. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were these phones right next to each other?
Yes, they are.
Well, common sense would dictate that if one was a Kokot, the other one would be.
Yeah, I know, but I want to get both of them.
Alrighty, so Dash is now heading home.
And we're going to see if these are Kokots or not.
You know, I could probably do that right now. I mean, you could probably give me the number. I can call it up and see.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Okay. And thank you, Windows, for telling me again that new updates are ready to install.
It'd be a local call for me, so we'll just wait. No. I don't want to have to put any added expense on your phone bill.
I could check on my cell phone right now, but be completely free.
That's true.
All right, let's move on here. Let's get some news items, and this first one here deals with piracy, but it's not your typical article, because it doesn't say that piracy is getting worse. It actually says that it's decreasing. And
this is good, because I needed to mention something about piracy too. So after you're done, I'll mention my thing.
Okay. This is from Gainesville, Florida. In a lesson for the music and movie industry, software makers appear to be winning the war against software piracy, at least among chronically offending college students. Yes, we gotta hate those people, says a University of Florida researcher. Surveys of undergraduates at several public and private universities reveal the number of students who admit to using illegally copied free software remains high, but dropped noticeably between 96 and 97 and the 2000 to 2001 school year. The reason? Software makers are slowly figuring out how to make it more attractive for students to buy their products than to steal them. I just love that word. Says Eric Chiang, a UF doctoral student in economics and the lead researcher on the project. It's not like the mentality of the students has changed. Their attitudes remain somewhat defiant, Chiang said. Rather, the software industry has found ways to get students to buy or use their product through legal channels. Okay, so...
So they mention these ways that they say they've created?
Yeah, it does. Let me just find the right paragraph. I know what they are. I know one of them involves actually including software on the computer when it's purchased. Kind of like what Microsoft does. You know, when you buy a computer, you get Windows.
How are they saying buying something is better than having it for free?
What's that?
How are they saying buying something is better than having it for free?
How are they saying buying something is better than having it for free?
You said they're you know, coming up with new ways to, you know, to entice consumers to buy the product. So what are those ways, you know?
Oh, okay.
Get it? You get what I'm saying?
I got what you're saying. Okay. It's a very, very long article, but I do know that one of those ways, like I said, was to bundle the software. Ah, here we go. One way is to bundle the software with the computer when purchased. So, like I said, you buy a computer, you get the software with it. Obviously, that doesn't work for all software, or for all computers, for that matter. But the other way is by allowing, like, special deals, like free upgrades. And, you know, apparently, I guess you can't get an upgrade if you have a pirated version. I don't know what their logic behind that is, but that's what it states here.
You can get updates for pirated software.
Yeah, you can, but they're saying you can't.
Okay.
You get free tech support, stuff like that. Basically, by bundling in more things to entice people to buy a legitimate product than by just getting a pirated version that doesn't have anything.
By offering what they should have offered in the first place for getting people to buy their product.
I suppose so. Yeah.
Free technical support and upgrades, I mean, come on. That should come with it already.
Well, I suppose not if you pirate it. Equally important, software vendors increasingly offer licenses to colleges and universities, allowing students to use expensive software cheaply, but only while enrolled. So here's another way. The universities, because according to this article anyway, they're studying universities because that's where you find the most people who need money and who need expensive software as well. So what a lot of colleges and universities are now doing is letting students use that software for a lesser price, and but they can only use it while they're enrolled.
I see.
I don't know how they guarantee that this person doesn't copy it and send it to someone else, or save it to a disk and then take it home with them when they're done. I don't know how they do that, but apparently now, to prevent piracy, they're lowering prices, apparently. So, I don't know. Lowering prices to avoid piracy, as well as offering more features that probably should have come with it to begin with. But, according to them, piracy is on the decline. Now, what I wanted to say about that was just something that I thought of while watching TV. You've probably gone over a friend's house, and they probably have cable. You know, they have Cinemax, they have HBO, whatever. They'll be watching a movie, you'll sit down with them and watch it, right?
Right.
That's not illegal, is it?
No, it's not.
So then, how come if you subscribe to cable internet, it's illegal to download a movie? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I understand that when a person subscribes to cable, the movie studios are getting, you know, a profit. They're getting money from it. But if I walk into someone's house, sit down and watch that movie, I'm not paying anything.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So theoretically, I should have a legal responsibility to shut my eyes and cover my ears and not look at that movie because I have not paid to see it.
That's a good point. I don't know how that's different. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, so, but if you actually pay for cable internet
and you download a movie.
And you download a movie, that's still technically illegal. Now, I know that, okay, the movie studios didn't get any money for that pirated version. But, why not have the cable companies do what they've been doing? If I subscribe to cable internet, why don't I get movies with that? You know, I subscribe to cable TV and I get movies. So why not subscribe to cable internet and let the cable companies take a little portion of that money and give it to the studios, and then I can download movies?
I don't know. Maybe you should suggest that to your cable company.
Are you kidding me? I would get arrested. They would realize that I'm downloading movies.
Yeah, they would. They'd arrest you.
They would. They would definitely come after me, and I would just. Oh, it just would not be pretty. The SWAT team would be out there for real. Alrighty. Let's move on here. Dash, are you almost home?
I'm almost home. Yes.
All right, because we got to move on to the question of the week.
Yeah, question of the week. We had about 10 or 12 replies, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, that message board, man, that thing really got filled up. People were replying to this question like crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, let me tell you something. I had posted a reply to the question of the week, but I have since deleted it. First off, because, well, I get to say enough on the air. And second, because you can't explain yourself on a message board.
Well, you can, but it's easy for people not to understand what you're saying.
Really? Because I had made a post here answering the question of the week, which was, should companies like CERT and Security Focus and all those other people that release vulnerabilities, should they have a responsibility to wait until a patch is released before giving out the information regarding the vulnerability? Now, my answer was, I had stated first off that I'm a big fan of full disclosure. I think we need to get the information out to everyone. Everyone should have it, and the world should decide what they do with it. It's the fair way, because with every good action, you know, you'll get a bad action. With every bad action, you'll get a good action. So just get it out there, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, I think that's the best thing you can do so you don't limit who gets help and who doesn't. Well,
hey, Screamer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cut you off real quick. I'm home, and I'm gonna get off my cell phone, and I'm gonna call you back to my home phone. All right.
All righty.
Call you back in a minute.
Okay. So what I had said was that I agree with full disclosure. I think the information should be given out. But then I moved on to say, but I propose a solution. Why not just give out the vulnerability, and maybe to the administrators you can give out the technical details. Not that you're limiting those details only to the administrators, though. But not release actual exploit code. Now, obviously, someone is going to put it out there, but maybe companies like CERT and Security Focus don't have to until a few months down the road. That way, we can get rid of those dreaded script kiddies that everyone seems to worry about. Well, I closed that by saying that I didn't agree with it. I don't think that we should have to hide any information whatsoever, but apparently, when Dash read it, he had to tell me, "You're contradicting yourself." And I said, "What? What are you talking about? I'm contradicting myself. First off, I meant to. I said I don't like this idea, but hey, here's one solution." So I tried to change it around. I tried to change my words around. I put a big old however in there. I said at the end, "I don't like this idea," but then it just made it sound worse. So I don't know. I just totally gave up on posting on the message board as far as answering a question goes. Now, Dash, some people did not give up. They want their answers read. So do you have some of those for us? Dash, are you there? Dash, interrupt. Poke. Well, this isn't good.
Please hang up and try your call again.
I didn't call anyone.
Assistance, dial the operator. Please hang up now. This is a recording. 20353.
If you have Verizon, God help you. See, that's messed up, SNET. I didn't call anybody. Why are you telling me that I gotta try my call again? I mean, Jesus. You'd think your frickin' phone company would know when you're making a call. Dash, are you there now?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey.
Okay. What happened there? We seem to have lost you.
Well, I called.
Yeah.
It was busy. So I called back, and it didn't even ring, and he said, "Dash, are you there?" So I don't know what happened there.
It was busy.
Yeah.
Well, we heard the ring, and we answered, but it was just dead silence, and then SNET told me to try my call again.
I see. That's pretty weird.
Yes, it is. All right.
All right, we're talking about question of the week still?
Yeah, we are. I had said to you when you weren't on the line that some people still do post on our boards and they want their answers read. So do you have some answers to read for us?
I have all of the answers.
Now, Dash, you know, there's going to come a point where we're going to get 35 different replies. We're not going to be able to read all these. What are we going to do?
We only have 7 now.
Okay, well, I'm saying when we get more.
When we get more, we'll just have to pick the best of them, I guess.
Ooh, favoritism. Ooh. Let the flames fly.
Well, it's not really favoritism as it is.
All right, well, let's get started. See if you can...
All right, you already told them the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're well aware of it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. First reply comes from Wintermute. Most of these replies are the same. So, you know, if we get more than, like you said, 35 or so, we can just, you know, take out the ones that are alike. But anyway... First one comes from Wintermute. He says, "The exploit should be released before the patch. It gives people like Microsoft, who are always writing shitty, hole-ridden code, to get on the ball and test their stuff.
How many times last year did IIS get hit with exploits? It is hard on smaller companies that use exploited applications because that exploit is used by script kiddies, black hats, etc. But if we show flaws, people learn and code gets stronger, hopefully. And that was Wintermute.
Okay.
Next one comes from Stank Dog. Since CERT is federally funded, I say yes. Hacking groups may or may not, depending on their philosophy. I think the internet needs a little of both, to be honest. Understand that reporting the exploit without a patch is detrimental to the hacking community as a whole, because it sends script kiddies and black hats, as Wintermute stated, into attack mode, which push hackers back into the media in a negative light. Sometimes, however, these agencies tend to get lazy and need a group to post the exploit first, a kick in the ass, so to speak. But I don't think either one should be a better or worse method of reporting security holes than another. Irish Samurai says, if more people know about the vulnerability, then more people can be working on a patch. Maybe they should alert the maker of the software or other security places first and give them a little bit of a grace period to make a patch before they release it to the public. And BIOS says that they should release the exploit first. Who knows how long it will be before the money-hungry bastards at Microsoft or wherever will get their asses in gear. If people who are using the bad software know, then maybe they can take it offline or be prepared anyway. And, okay, we got three more here. Flax Crack says, okay, this is what I think, if I understand it correctly. Yes, I think we should be told about the holes before the patches come out. Reason for this being, A, I can turn their crappy software off. B, so I know what to look out for in case I have crappy software with holes in it. And C, if a problem does occur, I know what program to blame it on. I don't think corporations or businesses should ever keep their customers in the dark about things that could affect their business, because that is bad business itself. And I think if a company does keep their people in the dark, they should get hacked. He ends with, I mean, if you could possibly get hacked, wouldn't you want to know? Zero Data says, I feel that CERT should A, inform the vendor, B, email the info to relevant sysadmins who have signed up for advisories, C, as a last resort, and if the vendor is dragging its heels, post it on the website for the world to see. Name and shame these bug-ridden scoundrels. And the last one comes from Cynthius. I think it must be handled carefully. I think the public should be made aware that a problem or vulnerability is present, but not get specific. If the users know that if they are using a product with flaws, then they'll think twice before deciding to use it. This allows them to make a decision as stated in previous posts. Use it or not, up to you. The only reason I say to not get specific is because there are people out there that will use it for personal gain. If someone really wants to know what is the problem, then they will research it and most likely be smart enough to not use it in a malicious way. The script kiddies would jump all over it if they could, but only those with patience and determination will put in the extra effort to learn how it works. Most of those people don't want to use it in a bad way, but for education or the pursuit of knowledge, if you will. I'd love to say that everything they know about it should be made available, but that's not the world we live in. It's not that easy. It's not that easy for a reason. That's all. That's it.
Okay, well, we'd like to first off thank everybody who took the time to answer our question of the week. Let's give them a round of applause. Round of applause for our listeners. Okay, wow, yeah, we have, actually, you said they were all the same. Those are actually some differing viewpoints there.
Well, there was a couple that were same, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a couple differences.
One thing I noticed, and I'm not gonna name any names, I'm just going to discuss this generally. Some people, actually quite a few, seem to think that exploit code and vulnerability should be put out there to give these companies a kick in the ass, you know, to basically punish them for writing poor software, and I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't think you need to punish people to show them that there are problems, because you're not really punishing the company. You're probably punishing the poor innocent users that have their information on there without their permission. You know, some company gets a person's information, stores it on a web server, And then that web server gets hacked, and, you know, people say, well, ha-ha, Microsoft learns their lesson. Yeah, but what about all these people that just got screwed because of it? Now, that's not to say that I don't think that all information should be out there. I just don't know if I would take the same approach. I don't know if I would be saying, well, it should be out there to screw these guys over. I do like the idea of warning people of a vulnerability and then letting people decide if they want to use that software, but unfortunately, you do have to get somewhat specific. You do have to say where the vulnerability is in Red Hat Linux, because people can't just turn off their computers and say, okay, a vulnerability is in Red Hat, I'm not going to use it.
Right. I think all information concerning an exploit or a security flaw or a vulnerability should be released. I think all of it should be released.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I think.
Well, I think I agree with you, and that's what I said before. But I think what some of our listeners want to convey is that let's say you have Red Hat running on your laptop, and a vulnerability comes out, and some script kiddie gets the exploit from Security Focus and uses it on your machine, you know, and then he deletes something.
Mm-hmm.
That would kind of piss you off. Now, I'm not saying that you would blame. That you would blame Security Focus.
It would piss me off, but if it just depends on if you got to find out about it, it has to be out there for you to find, and in order for you to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm just saying that some of our listeners want to remind us that it sucks when something happens to you.
Yeah, that's true. I know we can sit here and say all day that we think all the information should be released, and somebody will say, you know, what if it happened to you? Well, I still think it should be released, because if it's not all released, only certain people may have it, and they may use it for, you know, whatever they want to use it for.
Yeah, that's another good point.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to fix it because you wouldn't know what's going on.
Right, exactly. And, I think you summed it up pretty darn good, Dash.
Okay, I think it's time to announce the next question of the week.
And what might that be?
I actually came up with this one. I read in the news recently about, you know, Microsoft is still, you know, battling out in the courts.
Yeah, let me write this down. I always write them down.
Yeah. Well, one thing they proposed that, I don't know if they proposed it, if they're going to make them do it, or they were thinking about making them do it, but having Microsoft release the source code to Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And the question of the week would be, if the source code to Microsoft Windows was released, that includes Windows 95, 98, 3.1, XP, NT, all the Windows operating systems, what would you do with it? I don't mean you have to be a programmer to answer this question. Just what would you like to see have done with it?
So you mean how would you change it?
Yes.
Okay, not just
or how would you like to see other people change it?
A lot of people would say, well, I'd delete it, but...
Well, no, you can, you know, you can use it for, I guess, a lot of things.
Okay, so what would you do with the Windows source code?
Yeah, or what would you like to see other people do with it? If you're not a programmer, you know, you can't do it.
Okay, so that will be the question of the week. And now, Dash, actually, last week some people didn't want to answer because you hadn't posted the question yet.
Yeah, I'll post it on the message board.
Okay, so they should wait until you post it.
Yeah, I'll post it, or they can email me, but... They can email either of us with a response, but I'll post it on the message board and you can reply to it there.
Okay. Alrighty, so that takes care of this question of the week, and that was definitely a very in-depth one. So, like Dash said, you can send your answers for the newest one to either dash@hackermind.net, screamer@hackermind.net, or hop over to hackermind.net itself and visit our web board.
Yeah, we gotta try these numbers.
Okay, we do have to try those numbers, but first, just so we don't have any loose ends, because I hate them so much, you had mentioned something about piracy, did you not?
Oh, yeah, that is a loose end. Yeah, I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually kind of long.
Well, get going.
I'll just give the gist.
Okay.
Big gist. Basically, I saw this article on Slashdot the other day, and it says, movie-going set record in 2001. And basically the article says that 2001 was the highest grossing year for movies since 1959.
Wow.
Yes. And I was just, it was just weird because you know, you're hearing about all the piracy, the movies that, you know, people are pirating movies and they're losing money over it, right?
Yeah.
And it was the highest grossing year since 1959 last year. So I went looking for an article about piracy in the MPAA, and I found one. It's called Hollywood Wages War on Pirates. Online swapping of films and TV shows threatens to cost the industry billions. Now, I highlighted something in this article I wanted to mention. It says, last week, MPAA, this article is like a couple days old or something.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, MPAA President Jack Valenti gave testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee that the potential undoing of America's greatest export trade prize is the theft of movies in both the analog and digital formats. Claiming that the movie industry is losing $3 billion annually through theft of its product in one form or another. Once he said that what was now happening could disfigure and shred the future of American films because of the ease with which films can now be copied and transported on the net. The entertainment industry is taking the issue seriously enough to have enlisted the help of the FBI, the U.S. Secret Service, and the Justice Department to track down offenders. Valenti claims that only the lack of broadband access in homes has delayed more widespread piracy. With broadband access, he says, a two-hour film can now be taken down, depending on the speed of DSL line or cable modem, in 20 to 40 minutes. Pretty sure he meant downloaded.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. It takes a lot longer than that, but go ahead.
All right, it said they're losing $3 billion annually through theft of its movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it said. And earlier in this, hang on, let me find it. Hang on.
Settle down, Dash. Don't get nervous now.
Let me find it.
Our listeners seem to think you're nervous when you read.
Yeah, I know. Let me find it. Okay, it says, the huge explosion in pirate download services is an embarrassment to the entertainment industry, which has spent more than $4 billion in a desperate attempt to outflank the pirates by building the infrastructure to offer consumers legitimate digital content online.
Well, that's where all their money went.
These efforts have proved expensive flops. Why are they spending $4 billion and more on something that's only costing them $3 billion in the first place?
So that they could say they're losing money.
That's a good point. I just thought that was really weird that last year was the highest grossing year ever for the movie industry, and here they are saying that they're losing so much money on piracy, on pirates, and that they're taking our movies and they're giving them out to people for no money, and you can download them, and we've spent more money than they've cost us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, you know, you go over to your friend's house and you watch Cinemax, you should put duct tape around your eyes and plug up your ears because you have no right to see that movie.
So you don't think you can download a movie in 20 to 40 minutes, huh?
200 megs? On the way that cable modem, I have a cable modem, the way that it works when you go onto Kazaa is you'll probably start downloading some. If you're lucky, you might get up to about 90K, but that is so rare, it's not even funny.
Talking about a DivX DVD rip around 700 megs.
Oh, man, that'll take you a couple days. That'll take you a couple... Because you gotta remember that not every single file you download from another user comes at you at like 100K.
Right.
Some of them I get at about 0.67K a second.
Yeah, that's worse than my 56K.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous, but, you know, well, hey, it's piracy, so...
There must be a lot of people using cable modems up there. You should see about getting...
No, because when I download something else, I easily download it at 500K a second.
Oh, I see. So it's just the users you're downloading it from.
Yeah, but when I go onto Kazaa, I get it at, like, 0.67K, so...
Yeah, the thing about Kazaa is, like you said, not everybody has a high-speed connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what exactly the MPAA has a problem about. I mean, you download it so slow, I mean... I don't know. You know, a lot of people just don't do it.
Well, I think they might have a problem with an article that I have, and I know that you were going to get into something, but let me just mention this because we're right on the topic. High-speed, this is from Reuters, high-speed internet usage accounted for more than half of all time spent online in January, outpacing dial-up internet access for the first time, Nielsen Net Ratings said in a report Tuesday. So apparently, faster internet service has now exceeded dial-up.
Well, not over here.
Well, no, not over there, because you live outside the city limits and just outside of their wires, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but according to this article, yes, it is surpassing dial-up, but...
Well, then hopefully pretty soon, you know, I'll be able to have broadband access and download those movies.
Yeah, but not necessarily worldwide, though. Remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you have for us?
I want to try these numbers.
Alrighty.
Alright, let me three-way. So hang on.
Okay. See, what I should have done was just, like, start to get a real attitude when he three-way, because he always does that. Do you notice that? He loves to go. So you're gonna cut over. Oh.
There?
No.
Yes, you are. Apparently, that's not a Kokot.
It's not a Kokot.
Yeah, and probably the other one isn't either. You want me to try it anyway?
Yeah, what did you get?
I got a ring.
Yeah.
Ring. That's all it did was ring.
How many times did it ring?
About three or four.
Yeah, I've called Kokots that have rang about three times, picked up, and then gave me the modem tone.
Let me try it again.
Okay. Not saying I'm right, but just letting you know. Not that he's there, but I'm talking to you, the listeners. Hey, maybe somebody will answer. We'll say hi.
Cool. I don't think it's Kokot.
Probably not.
Can we give up?
Well, wait. Gotta give it five. Ah! Just so we don't deafen you, let me turn that down.
Oh, man, it is.
And that's a Kokot.
Yes.
Now, what can we do with it?
I don't know. Want me to try? Hang on, let me try the dial number.
Okay.
Ah. Hang on. And nothing. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So just hang up on it?
No.
I don't think you want to just keep it here?
Let it hang up.
Okay.
Because it might say how much money's in it before it does.
I don't know what number it's dialed.
Let me try it some. But it hasn't hung up on you yet, has it?
I don't think so.
Hit flash.
It has.
It has.
Yes. So it's just like the other Kokot I found.
Okay, so...
I'm glad you told me to let it ring a few times first.
Yeah, well, the phone freak rule is give something five rings at least. At least five rings.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know five rings.
All right, but it didn't do anything at all? You tried hitting it during the tone? No luck?
No, I didn't know it was going to start, so hang on. Let me try it. Let's try hitting some numbers during the tone.
Okay. Time to get deafened. Because, as we mentioned last week, sometimes you can actually hit a button during the tone and hear the area around the phone.
Hey?
Yeah, we're here.
Hang on. You messed up on me. And I gotta find the number again because I wrote it down. Now I can't find it.
Couldn't have gone that far.
Alright, there it is. Hang on.
Alrighty. Yes. Calling a Kokot to see what we can make it do.
I just gotta wait through the rings.
Alright, so that's one. Two. Three. You know you're a hacker when you enjoy this type of thing. Four. There we go. Okay. Yes, yes.
Oof. There?
Yeah, our listeners aren't, though, but I'm here.
Huh. Apparently it's not going to do anything.
They just all left during that. No, I'm kidding, but we need more Kokot numbers, because
these ones around here, apparently they suck.
Eventually we're going to find one that will allow you to hit a tone and then kill the screeching noise and then hear the area around the phone. Now, I know this was done way back in the day, but someone somewhere has to still have one of these old-fashioned Kokots.
At least the ones you found, you could do something at the end.
Yeah, you can dial a number and then hear how much it costs.
Yeah.
Or I would love to find one that that reads how much money is in it before it hangs up. That'd be fun, too.
That would be fun. We want people to send in numbers of Kokots they have.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting.
That'd be really cool to print like a big old list of Kokot numbers in the next issue of Frequency.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Which, believe it or not, is actually coming along very well. Freak 20.
Freak 19 is out.
Yeah, Freak 19 is out. You can get it at HackerMind.net, but Freak 20 is already underway. Now, if you have articles, send them in to articles@HackerMind.net, and that'll get them into Frequency. If you have articles for Equal Access, our Phone Freak magazine, send those to equalarticles@HackerMind.net. Now, like I was saying, Freak 20, we've already got about, I'd say about 6 articles, not counting the what I call the usuals, where, you know, we have the introduction and the closing arguments, blah, blah, blah. So we got about 6 articles in there already.
That's good.
And it's still the beginning of the month, so if you want to get your article into Freak 20, send it in to articles@HackerMind.net, and don't be shy. You can talk about anything. You can send in an opinion. You can send in a technical piece. You can send in a listing of Kokots. We would love that. Alrighty. Now, Dash, you had told me that you had an awful lot to talk about tonight, so I don't want to deny you that chance.
Well, yeah, I know. I wanted to let's mention the little tip I have for making high quality movie waves.
Oh, yes, yes. This
kind of has to do with what we were talking about earlier.
It'll certainly piss off Jack Valenti, so go right ahead.
Yeah, if you have a DivX or just any movie that's pretty high quality and you want on your computer that's basically any format and you want a soundbite from it, I don't know. I just found this out recently, so I don't know if everybody knows about this or not, but you can use this program called Virtual Dub, and you can just open your movie in it, and edit out the scene, edit out everything else but what you want, and then all you have to do is click on File and then click Save Wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to Leland about this earlier, and he thought it was pretty interesting too.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet he did, and in fact, you gave me a wave.
That virus you're always talking about, right? The one that could rip off the company for a bunch of money.
Yeah? What about it?
Well, how does it work?
It's pretty brilliant. What it does is every time there's a bank transaction where interest is computed, you know, thousands a day, the computer ends up with these fractions of a cent, which it usually rounds off. What this does is it takes those little remainders and puts it into account.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, they did in Superman 3.
Right.
Yeah. Underrated movie, actually. And then there were a bunch of hackers that did in the 70s as well. One of them got busted.
Well, so they check for this now.
No, here's the thing. Intech's so backed up with all the software we're updating for the year 2000, they'd never notice.
You're right. And even if they wanted to, they couldn't check all that code.
Thumbs up their asses. Thumbs up their asses.
Yes, thumbs up their asses. And that comes to us from Office Space. Great movie.
Yes, absolutely great movie. But yeah, if you want to make if you're looking online for a movie wave or basically any kind, any video that you have and you just want a wave or soundbite from it, just open it up in that program and do what I said earlier.
And that's the player, DivX.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, the player.
The player.
It's not me saying that, you know, it's them. Believe me. But here's a bit of news. The Adobe hackers, remember them?
The Adobe hackers?
Yeah, Dmitry Skolarov.
Oh, yes.
His company, they claim that they're immune.
Immune to what?
Well, they're immune to the law, apparently, because they did nothing wrong.
Who, Adobe?
Elcomsoft.
Oh, okay.
the Adobe hackers. The Russian company that created software to circumvent Adobe's ebook format argued on Monday that its conduct, which caused the arrest and detainment of programmer Dmitry Skolarov in a high-profile case last summer, was not illegal. Elcomsoft, the Moscow-based software firm, claimed that because it offered the encryption-breaking software on the Internet, the company was not subject to U.S. copyright law. Joseph Burton, Elcomsoft's attorney, told U.S. District Judge Ronald White that Elcomsoft's actions occurred in Russia or on the Internet, and we take the position that the Internet is a place outside of U.S. jurisdiction. Burton said that the company was not specifically targeting the software to Americans, but that the software was instead available to anyone on the Internet, regardless of residence. But Assistant U.S. Attorney Scott Fruing dismissed those claims, arguing that the Internet is a physical presence made up of computers in America, and that the U.S. has every right to stop contraband on those machines. So,
it's not only computers in America.
No, but the argument, get this, the argument is that if the data travels through computers on American soil, then Americans have the right to punish the people that send that data. So even if you have no control over where you route this, and I mean, think about this, how much control do you really have? When you send out some data packets throughout the Internet, do you really know where they're going to go? No, they go through routers, they go wherever they want to go.
Exactly, it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected, but in our politicians' view of the world and their little warped sense of reality, if that information travels across U.S. soil, then they can be held accountable. Now, couldn't someone argue that if that information, I mean, using this logic, if that information travels across U.S. soil, that the U.S. is somehow, aiding them in this, assisting them, if you will? Because, I mean, they're pretty much an accomplice. They're allowing these people to use their routers, right?
Well, routers are open to everyone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm trying to use their logic against them, you see.
Well, their logic is so stupid.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying this.
I certainly hope the U.S. doesn't win this case. And I hope more people, smarter people get in. I know I've said this before, but I hope people who understand the Internet and computers better get up there in those positions of power to tell people that, this is wrong. I mean, it's stupid. And they need to tell people what's really going on. Not just some stupid asshole up there who doesn't know what he's talking about, trying to convict this programmer who didn't do anything illegal.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that they would claim that because this information flowed onto U.S. soil that they're somehow guilty way over in Russia. I mean, physical boundaries still exist. Yes, the Internet is there, but I mean,
maybe it's just it travels everywhere.
For crying out loud, if you crumpled up a piece of paper and threw it into the wind and it somehow blew over to the United States, you wouldn't look at it the same way.
Maybe if somehow using their logic that they can say, since it went, well, I guess it could have went everywhere, on to every machine it went through, on every continent and every country, if they got all those countries and continents to agree that, you know, it's that the, you know, to enforce the DMCA, then, you know, then maybe they would have a case.
Well, and here's another thing. You know, like I had joked
it
before.
It didn't just travel through America's computers.
No, it didn't, but like I had joked before, you know, like the U.S. could be held accountable for letting their routers let this data through, because that's kind of like the thing with the whole Ford case and 2600, you know, where 2600 is basically making it look like one person's linking to another. I mean, there's no way you could stop that, you know, unless Ford would just take the initiative to not let people come to their site from another site, which is easy to do. So basically what we have here are I don't know, it's a ridiculous situation is what it is, but
I certainly hope they don't win. The U.S. doesn't win. I hope the U.S. doesn't win this case.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm getting confused here, but what I wanted to say was that remember that a lot of times you have to go to the information. The information doesn't come to you.
Yes, that's true.
All right. When you're sitting at home on your computer in the United States and you go to an FTP site over in Russia, you're going to it. It's not coming over here. No one's propagating it over into the U.S. So, yeah, let me just leave it at that because
okay.
I'm losing my mind here. All right, so the Adobe hackers claim that they're not guilty, and I
couldn't agree more.
I certainly agree with them, but look at that, we're out of time for this week.
Really, it's been an hour already.
Well, you know what, I got one more thing here, but I don't have to read it. It just talks about how large ads, like banner ads, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Let's put the notebook over here. Large ads on the internet are becoming more popular than ever.
No, they're not.
Not with us.
Not with us.
Not with average people, but with companies, they're loving them. They love those pop-under ads, you know, like they said on Off the Hook, you know. You go to a site, you close your browser, and you got 13 different windows opened. That's if you're lucky. I've gone to sites and had like 47 open. Now, here I am with this pretty strong computer. I'm just saying to myself, I wonder how many pop-ups they can give me before my computer crashes. And fortunately, the operating system, believe it or not, Windows XP is pretty stable, so it doesn't happen. But it gets to the point where you got 47 pop-ups, and this computer is lagging, man. This thing is like frozen. Eventually, they close out, but if you do want to stop that, go on to Google or your favorite search engine, mama.com perhaps, I don't know, and look for Pop-Up Stopper, not Pop-Up Stopper Pro. I know you can download that, but they got free ones out there, and let me tell you something, I love them. Oh, I love Pop-Up Stoppers.
I've never really had a big problem with pop-ups.
You've never had a problem with pop-ups?
Not a real big problem. It's not like, it hasn't happened to me in a while.
Everybody has a problem with pop-ups.
Well, I have a problem with pop-ups, but not like 10 or 20 of them popping up at one time or something like that.
No, they're a plague, Dash. They're horrible.
They're a plague upon this earth.
Yeah, they are. They're evil, but that is it. We are out of time. So, Dash, thanks for taking the time to drive down to a Kokop for us. And remember, folks, give a phone 5 rings.
5 rings, yeah.
5 rings. If you're scanning or something like that, 5 rings.
Yeah, 5 rings.
Okay, so I'm Screamer Chaotix. That's Dash Interrupt. And we'll see you next week. So until then, play it safe. But you know what? Keep on exploring. Bye-bye. Gunman in me. Oh, teacher, I'm a freak show, and I can't do nothing about that. No.